Welcome to Analyzing Television, it's Entertainment Talk's podcast for looking at situations and topics in the world of TV. I'm your host Matthew, and today I'm going to be posing the question, what is Netflix offering us? What's prompted me to do this episode, you might wonder? Recent news from last week, from the US particularly, is that Netflix has once again, despite the situation, despite all the strikes, has decided to raise their prices, at least in the US. The premium Netflix now is going to be costing $23 a month. And that is going to be not the vocal point, but the focus point of the podcast and talking about what Netflix has been doing recently. Is Netflix worth that much money each month? Of course, that question itself is entirely subjective. Somebody might think it's vastly overpriced. Some people might think it's too cheap. I don't know anybody that actually thinks that one. But somebody might use Netflix every day and think, yeah, that is worth $23 a month to them. So, of course, the price of something is, of course, subjective per person in terms of how much you use it, quality over quantity, or in this case, quantity over quality very much. So let's take a look at things. So $23 a month. To answer that from my side, do I think Netflix is worth that much money? No. That's a very easy no from my side. At best, at very most, it's worth half that price. And even that, I would say, I mean, if your streaming service costs more than, let's say, £10 or $10, because usually it's like 6 or 8 or something, isn't it? For some, I mean, there's not a lot of 6 dollar a month services anymore, but usually like $7.99 or $8.99. That's usually the normal, sort of price for that. So in terms of Netflix, okay, how are they justifying it? Well, because, you know, corporate, I guess, that's a corporate decision. So you got that going on. It is extremely tone deaf. In one sense, you've just had the writer's strike wrapping up. Literally, what was it, a couple of weeks ago? The actor's strike, which you need actors. Say whatever you want about AI. AI is not the answer in terms of replacing actors. That would be a terrible idea. You need those actors to make the stuff that you put on your platform. So let's talk a little bit about, okay, what has Netflix done recently, and does it justify the recent price hike, which is how this has kind of gone? Right, now the thing I'm going to focus on here is not necessarily what they've released, but their IP. Now, I'm not going to get into too deep of the discussion about their IP, because I already did a podcast a while ago going through Netflix has got an IP problem, which I still believe is the case. In fact, I think they've got a worse IP problem than anybody else. Apple functions a bit differently, but still, Netflix has got a massive problem when it comes to what's theirs, what isn't, and what's on the platform, and how that's divided. Okay, I'm just going to list off some stuff that I know is on, not things all that I've watched, but things Netflix has put out, and whether or not they're theirs, or the long-term stuff, because I talked also about, on that podcast, like, Netflix's flexible IP, things like big IP that you can use in lots of different flexible sort of ways. David Beckham documentary, not remotely flexible IP. It's a one-off documentary. It won't have a second season. It's got 4 episodes. It's very, very good. It's very, very good. I am watching it myself. 4 episodes, one and done, not theirs. Beckham obviously agreed to do that with Netflix, and that was a one and done thing. And regardless of how good that is, you're not going to get, you know, you're not going to get any more content out of that. Once people have watched it, they've watched it. I mean, I guess you could rewatch it, but whatever. It's not theirs. Netflix doesn't own Beckham or Manchester United or anything like that. The One Piece live action series, I've heard it's very good. I've not seen it myself personally. It's a good deal for Netflix, I suppose. It's not theirs. So as good as that can be, so as good as that could particularly be, it's not theirs. It's not theirs at all. I don't know who does actually like own, and what I'm talking about in this situation is who owns the rights to One Piece and the control that they have versus the control that Netflix doesn't have, which is the IP rights. Now, not every single thing you put out needs to be owned by you to be successful, obviously, but if we focus on the IP aspect, that kind of leans into that very much. What else have you got? You've got obviously Stranger Things is the big thing that's theirs. You've got Wednesday, relatively recent. There's a second season on the way. It's not theirs. It's produced by MGM. I don't know who's got the IP rights, but Wednesday was not created. Like the original IP of the Addams Family or Wednesday was not created by Netflix. It's a good show. Got a little bit messy towards the end, but it was still good. Second season, it's a big hit. You know, Jenna Ortega is a big name right now, so that's good. It's still not theirs. I don't know the name of it, but Mike Flanagan's newest and last Netflix thing has just come out. I've heard it's very, very good. Some people said they didn't quite enjoy it. I've not checked it out myself yet personally. It's a very, very new thing. First, obviously, with these, he does more sort of limited series, apart from the one that they didn't renew for a second season, but that's their fault. And again, another cancellation by Netflix. As a result, of course, we know that Mike Flanagan has now gone over to work with Amazon, so bye bye to all of his Netflix stuff. He'll still probably make the same types of things, but no more of that on Netflix. And although they had a very good deal, obviously, they don't own Mike Flanagan, they were just making deals with him. And producing some very good shows and some very critically acclaimed shows, which is very, very good. That it wasn't solidified there, and that's now gone anyway. Like that last series, I think that's another one of his limited series. Okay, it's out. I've heard it's very good. I mean, you've got like Haunting of Hill House, which is like you know, and Blind and Midnight Mass, some of Netflix's best horror stuff. He's now gone over to Amazon, so they've. I get that that's different because I'm talking more about a creator that comes out with new things over and over again as opposed to an IP. But he's now gone over to Amazon, probably not going to go back to Netflix, so they've lost him in that sort of creative aspect. D different bit of a thing, but they've lost him. What else have they done recently? Sex Education obviously came out. I believe that's an original new IP from them. That's had its, is it fourth or fifth final season? That's now finished. I'm sure that final season's very good. Obviously, that was a little bit of a longer term thing for Netflix, but that's now finished. I guess you could do a spin-off or a reboot. Of course, we know that Hollywood likes its reboots and whatnot. But that's finished. That's done. So hopefully that just ends well. But that's not continuing for Netflix. And you've got certain things here that are so like there will be another season of Wednesday. There's One Piece which has been renewed, but they're not theirs. They don't completely control it. And you don't have to completely control everything. But there's not been much recently put out. I've just been through what, like five, six examples there of things that, okay, have different things to them, like one-off stuff, or creatives doing different things, or adaptions of stuff, or licensed content, you know, that sort of thing. And I remember saying, I think it was after Stranger Things season 4 came out. And that was because within the last year or so, not quite so much in the last couple of months, but within the last year, Netflix has definitively been on kind of a purge of their own content. They got rid of so many things. Things that were, I believe, original and stuff, and things that were from like creative teams that they were still working with. Most of that stuff is gone. A lot of it is gone. And apart from Stranger Things, because when you think, okay, what's the biggest and most popular Netflix show that I believe is an original IP from them? It's Stranger Things. That's not going to be on this year. It might not even be on next year. We don't know. It might be a 2025 situation. And the question I posed at the time, and we're starting to see the fruits of the labors of this question. In between Stranger Things season 4 and 5, which will be around 2 years, I mean, that was already last year, wasn't it? Stranger Things, the fourth season. We've already seen Netflix this year, because the year's pretty much finished. We've seen what else they've got. And you're probably going to see whether Stranger Things is going to be like late next year or maybe early the year after. I would guess the year after. I don't think you'll see it in 2024. particularly with how long those shows take to make, and with all the delays and stuff, it's you know, it's going to be a while. But even between right now and then, what have they? They've come out with some good stuff, but none of it particularly has been theirs. And after Stranger Things finishes its upcoming fifth and final season, there's been talk of a spin-off. I don't know how much life you'll get out of a spin-off. People really love that cast and everything, and the idea. I don't really know how you replicate that, and I do think you've got a bit of a lightning in a bottle situation. Upping the price now is obviously bad. Very, very. It's a very, very, very bad look. Netflix already looks very, very bad to a lot of people. But yeah, we've seen, again, it's going to be a question of post Stranger Things season 5. What, apart from these deals and these licenses, which they do, and they've started to do that more and more, and you've seen that, excuse me, you've seen that with some of their live action adaptions of manga and anime and all those sorts of things. I know that there was the other one which really, really didn't work very well. I can't remember what it was called. It was the other anime that they tried to adapt, and like nobody liked it, and it turned out really, really bad. I can't remember what the name of it was. Yeah, it's I get it's kind of revisiting sort of, you know, now even now. Okay, they are putting out stuff. They've got a big lack of IP. They are attracting some big properties and names and stuff, like, you know, like I said, with Beckham, and you've got some other stuff kind of going on. And I wouldn't remotely say Netflix is being paper thin, because they have got just so much stuff. It's what they've ended up with in terms of, because the amount of times you open Netflix and, you know, you get the big banner thing at the front of like trying to get you to watch something, and the amount of times, now it might just be something I've not heard of, but then if I've not heard of it, you've maybe not advertised it properly, which we know is Netflix's problem, etc., etc. But it's gotten to this strange point with Netflix where you've put your prices up again, particularly in the US. You have got one season left, unless they do something like give it more episodes and split it off into two seasons, and that stretches it out over 4 years instead of two, or something. You've got some stuff there. Not much of it is actually yours. And then the stuff that you are making that's just admittedly random shows and things, and some of this stuff might be good, some of it might, but it's so just such a scattergun approach, or like throwing at the wall and see what sticks approach, that it sort of diluted the platform a bit, because you really, really have gone for quantity over quality. And it's become almost this, like, you know how with music you sort of shuffle stuff and you shuffle your playlist, and you've just got a bunch of stuff that you just go through, right, with songs. It's almost like Netflix has tried to turn it into that, and I don't think that's remotely how you should run a streaming platform. But I don't know. It's like, again, revisiting the question from earlier. From everything I've just explained, a lack of IP that you have got, and it's okay to have other stuff, and that other stuff has been successful, at least for the most part. It's good to have that as well as IP that you've got, but the balance of that is becoming less and less, because the amount of stuff Netflix got rid of, there might have been 10, 15, maybe even 20 shows in the last year. Maybe I'm exaggerating slightly, but it feels like that. The amount of stuff that you've cancelled, and the amount that you've pissed people off, and then you're still doing some stuff. You're still doing, there'll be the occasional like thing that people will take notice of. Yeah, there'll be the occasional thing people take notice of, but not much of that is actually yours anymore. So it's kind of, you reduce the number of IP you've got, you cancel a bunch of stuff. Yeah, you cancel a bunch of stuff, then raise the prices during a writers' strike, which has just about ended, and a actors' strike. Although somehow within all this process, Netflix has gained 8 million subscribers. I don't really know quite how they've managed to do that, or why. Maybe the word of mouth on One Piece was really, really good or something, or people really do love David Beckham. But 8 million is quite a lot, and I'm not quite sure where that's quite come from. Maybe that's more of an American thing where they've added some stuff that we don't have over here, so that sort of happened over there or something. I don't really know. But yeah, we're kind of seeing now, you've cancelled a bunch of stuff. Stranger Things season 4 comes out, big hit yet again. You have some things that come out that are successful that you don't actually have full control over. Mike Flanagan then leaves because you annoyed him or you fell out with him business wise, or Amazon offered him a better deal, which I think is the likeliest scenario. And then you raise your prices again. It's, yeah, just it does pose just the question of like, what are you actually kind of offering us at this point? Today's sponsor is Manscaped. You can get 20% off with your order with Manscaped by using the promo code that we've got with them, which is ETALKUK. That's ETALKUK to get 20% off your order and free shipping with Manscaped. They sell various different men's grooming products, from shavers, razors, ear and nose hair trimmers, different clothes and deodorants. You don't even need to Google Manscaped themselves. You can click on the link in your show notes, whether you're on a podcast player or the website version of the episode, and you can go and click on that link in the show notes. That's also got the promo code written in the show notes as well, so you can either copy and paste the promo code ETALKUK, ETALKUK. You can either copy and paste that into your show notes or type it in the promo code box and click apply. That will get you 20% off your order with Manscaped and free shipping. First-hand quality professional with Manscaped, from their packaging to the items themselves, even the way the items are stored in the packaging is very, very first class, very professional, so no questions about Manscaped's quality. Thanks very much to Manscaped for sponsoring Entertainment Talks podcast, and thank you very much for listening. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
Alright, so to kind of conclude, because I don't want to do one of these ones where I'm going 45 minutes and I'm going on and on about the same stuff. I think I've got kind of most of my point across. But just, yeah, in terms of, okay, what is my answer to that? In terms of what is Netflix offering us? They are currently offering us an overpriced service with IP from other people that they're doing some decent stuff with, although sometimes it can fall completely flat on its face. Being quite reliant on a show that's going to end. And I honestly really don't have any idea of what does Netflix look like after Stranger Things. We're still going to have to wait a year, maybe 2 years, to find out that answer and to see what Netflix does. But I don't know. Netflix is just it's just become this very strange platform, hasn't it? A very, very strange platform indeed. And yeah, we'll see what, I mean, there's been a few times where I've been, like, on Geek Town or something with David, and we talked about, like, oh, Netflix has got this coming up and that coming up, and they'll do one of them, their, ta-dum, like, presentation things. And there'll just be just a bunch of stuff, and some of it sounds all right, or you've got some decent creatives involved, or something like that. But I don't know. It's not re Netflix isn't really standing out for anything right now, apart from raising its prices and annoying people. I know a few people that have gotten rid of it. I fully understand that. There's still a couple of things on there that I do personally want to watch. I haven't gone through Sex Education yet. I'm finishing off the David Beckham thing, for example. So, there's some stuff still hanging around for me. But anyway, I did, yeah, I just this is this was more of a podcast where it was kind of rather than me having more of a statement type thing, I'm more just posing a question. And there isn't really a correct answer to that question, what is Netflix offering us? Because again, all of this is like, you might watch totally different content that I watch on there that is, something I would never watch. Or then you might watch it in America where it is more expensive. And, they might offer some different content that you watch differently and stuff. But there's been even a few people that like cover TV and stuff that have said, even for them, like they use it because they review stuff or they look through Netflix. What is the breaking point for it for this pricing? Is it going to be okay if it gets to 25 or maybe 30? I know HBO Max is more than, or Max, whatever it is more than $10. I personally, unless you've got something like a sports thing or something that offers lots and lots of different avenues, or if you've got something like the ESPN, Disney Plus, Hulu, I think it's those three, the bundle. I understand if that costs a bit more. And I know we're talking about the premium Netflix, but $23 is still a lot. And I just looked at the news when that came out, and I just thought, yeah, the first thing I did think of was like, okay, what is this platform, this streaming service, actually offering us as customers? Stuff is really the sort of best answer, I suppose. So yeah. Anyway, there we go. All right, let me know what you think. What do you think Netflix is offering us? What do you think it's offering you? Do you think it's offering us something different? Like I said, there's the odd thing on there that pops up that works, but they've cancelled a load of stuff. They haven't got loads of IP left themselves, at least not much that sort of sticks out or is particularly flexible that they can use over a long term period. Most of the other streamers have got most of those things. So anyway, and if you are curious about my whole IP discussion, I'll try to remember to link it in the show notes. It's called Netflix Has an IP Problem. I did do another one, which was in Analyzing Television, that was a streaming service overview. So check out that one as well if you want to. Just for those other sides of things, I didn't want to dig into those here because I've already talked about those before. So anyway, let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments about Netflix, other streamers. Do you think it's too much, too expensive? Maybe you think it's too cheap for some reason. I don't know. Let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter eTalkUK, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, entertainment talk, TV, games, films, Monday Night Podcast. Check out what we do. Listen to more episodes. Check out word of mouth, social media. Let other people know about what we're doing, where they can find it. There's that kind of stuff. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Take a look at that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news over on Geektown Radio on Tuesdays, geektown.co.uk. So if you want updates about all things streaming, TV, film news, all that sorts of thing, take a look out for that. Bex, you can find over on Twitch and other platforms, Trista, BYTES, for retro game, other streams and things like that. Me over on Twitch at eTalk UK and YouTube Entertainment Talk Plays. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.